Welcome to Movie Talk. I'm Jane Ellen.
And I'm Adam Cravens.
And we go to the movies. We talk about the movies. We tell you what we think. We don't tell you how it ends.
No. I'm not a spoiler guy. Like I've met those people and I think exactly what everybody else thinks of them.
Mm-hmm.
And like things I can't say we'll call it decent society. Like we're not going to be those people.
No, we're not. So anything that we do say and we watch so many movies, I feel confident with our judgment that we're not going to tell you too much or anything that isn't already obviously known. So
think about it like a menu. Like,
yes.
I'll give you enough. Like you can decide whether or not like you liked it and what the actual ending is. But I'll make it sound appetizing enough if I need to. Like, and just
or tell you to avoid it completely.
Just be like, I don't want those mushrooms on my burger. Quit
okay.
that.
Okay. Yeah. So, oh man, let me get the figures out first. The first movie we're talking about here.
It's a little independent film. Some of you may have heard of. It's a very very small little tiny thing from one of Disney's smaller parts. Avengers Infinity War, to topple something like Star Wars.
Exactly. I was trying to get the exact figures. Well, I want to say opening weekend North America alone was $280 million?
$258.7 million. The last I looked. They were projecting that it had done $250 million, I believe.
Okay.
And as it turned out, their estimates were even lower than... Like, after they had adjusted them up, and it blew past Star Wars Force Awakens by about roughly $10 million, like, on its opening weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Which, again, that movie made a boatload.
Yeah, it sure did. First of all, answer this question.
Yes.
Would you tell someone to go see it? Yes or no?
Yes.
Did you enjoy it?
Most definitely.
Okay. I feel the same way. I also enjoyed it. That's the short answer. We enjoyed it. Now we get into the deeper stuff.
Now, the only caveat that I had with this film, and like I said, it's a small one. Most of the rest of your Marvel films, you can take at a single viewing. Like, you don't necessarily have to have seen the previous 13, the other 12. Like, maybe if it's a trilogy that's wrapped up in part of that, if you haven't seen the first or second one, you're not necessarily going to be lost. If you go into this film... without having watched, let's say, Spider-Man Homecoming, Iron Man, Thor, Ragnarok, the original Avengers, I don't know that you have to have seen all of them, but you will not get the full experience if you have not been immersed in a good deal of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Correct. And I know some people watched all 18 films leading up to this prior to it.
If I had less responsibility and less bills, I would have been one of those people.
Yes. So there are 18, but yeah, if you've seen just a couple of them, you're going to have an idea. Now, it's not that, you know, a lot of stuff blows up, things are funny, you don't have to know who everybody is, but it really lends itself.
The experience, if you want to fully utilize like everything in it, if you've been a fan of the Guardians, Iron Man, the Avengers, like Spider-Man, like any of these characters, that is what is going to give you like the fulfillment of everything in this. What is it? 229, I believe.
Yeah, I mean we saw a 5 o'clock movie. We walked out at 8, so there were previews and just movie, and it was like my Lord of the Rings experience. I didn't feel like I was sitting there that long.
No, and I mean that's saying something for
sure
a film.
Is.
At that length, like to say, oh yeah, it was a brisk 2.5 hours. Like I know things that last 2.5 hours that are not brisk.
No,
like
this was brisk.
Infinity War like moves at a very, very brisk pace. And it's funny in addition to feeling like your characters have a genuine sense of danger.
Mm-hmm.
Like one of my complaints of some of the Brosnan Bond films, like I was never concerned that guy was ever going to get hurt. Like
right.
I didn't even think like his hair was going to get like tussled.
It's not.
Like in this movie, there are genuine stakes. Like people are still quipping, but it's not just a Laurel and Hardy like act. When something happens in this movie, like if you were emotionally invested in these characters, and like I was even emotionally invested in the main villain, which
is Thanos, by the way. If you Let's just take Guardians of the Galaxy. That's where it was really talked about the most. You've got the stones and Thanos. And who is this guy? And don't mix him up with the guy from Star Wars.
Because I'm sure a lot of people were like, why does Bruce Willis look like he's had an allergic reaction to
exactly.
something? They're like, no. He's from space.
Completely different. And actually, it's not played by Andy Serkis, who usually plays these parts.
Who I believe for a while had a government controlled... everything that was
had
done.
Had to go to him. Yeah.
Yes, it had to go to him first.
As the actor who played Thanos, most people just call him Barbara Streisand's stepson, but you may know him as Josh Brolin.
Who is also in another Marvel movie
yes.
this summer. Like, apparently this guy, Marvel just
Andy Serkis just boxed it out. Anyway, so if you've seen any of those, you've heard of Thanos, you didn't see a lot of him, and you've heard of the Infinity Stones, and you saw one in Guardians of the Galaxy. Well, the story of this brings it all together. You learn Thanos's backstory, you learn Gamora's backstory.
Or more of it, at least.
More,
They've teased a lot of these aspects through the movies. Mm-hmm. Like, even at the end of the first Avengers, you see Thanos kind of turn his head and realize this is the guy that's pulling the strings. But if you're not familiar with the comic book universe, you're not necessarily sure who that guy was
or what he wants
or any of this stuff. This really kind of brings it to its culmination.
Mm-hmm. And for me, who was sitting in the second row, my youngest and I, you know how we love to laugh. We laughed and we laughed and we laughed. And then she would go, we're the only ones who think that's funny. And it's like, well, it's hilarious. I don't know what their problem is. Maybe it's because we're in the front, we can't hear them. There were some seriously funny moments and so much funny pop culture, especially when you have the lovely Quill meets Spider-Man.
Oh, yeah. Two characters that they're separated in their decades as far as, like, their genuine knowledge. So, I mean, you've got two characters that basically just speak in pop culture references
yes.
going, like, on a little tete-a-tete. Like, it's... I will tell you, though, like, Robert Downey Jr. and Benedict Cumberbatch need to do some movie where they have to travel across, mm-hmm. like, the country. I don't care what happens in it, and I don't care if it takes place in the Marvel Universe. These guys just had some magnificent
they really did.
Chemistry.
They were
together.
Killing me. And as usual, Thor, hilarious. Thor and, as we will now call them, Rabbit and Tree as a trio— because Thor called Rocket and Groot, Rabbit and Tree. As a trio, it's just magnificent. Just gloriously funny.
Like, you really get to see, like, Thor finally gets to really kind of lay it, without giving you anything more than that, you finally get to see Thor literally and figuratively throw down.
And,
which is very satisfying as a fan of comic books.
And to see my favorite small actor playing a dwarf that is, what, 50 feet tall?
Getting Tyrion Lannister to be the giant was a brilliant, like, that was another thing that I think I was the only one laughing.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
It was just awesome. That's all I got to say.
Yeah. Anytime you want to put Peter Dinklage anywhere, like, I'm not going to complain.
No, like, never.
If you want to put him on my pastrami and rye, like, you're not going to get any complaint about that. Mm-hmm. You might be confused for a moment, but then after you listen to him for a minute, you're like, oh, I'm past it.
Yeah.
I'm past it. Hit me with it.
He's, I love him. I can't help but see that scene in 30 Rock when Tina Fey's character pat him on the head because she thought he was a small child from behind. But I love him so much. Anyway, the movie has some great cameos and some scenes that are far too short. And the important part, I think, was to put it out there. I'm sure I'm the only one in the universe who said this first. Anna Grace, my oldest, was heartbroken at the end of the movie. And she's like, honestly, she's like, oh. And I said, first of all, it's science fiction. Nobody dies in science fiction. They just don't.
Or if they do.
It's like a soap opera.
If they do, it's only for a limited span of time.
Exactly. Exactly. There's a catch. I said, honey, Marvel makes so much money off of this. Black Panther just... everything is going to keep going, okay?
Yeah.
So don't worry about anything.
You can usually look at the film that occurred before it. Did it make $1 billion?
Yeah.
Dollars? Oh, then he's not dead. Like, at the end of the movie Ray, which was a biopic, like, when a character dies and it's based on real life, maybe that character stays dead.
Mm-hmm.
If you are a movie based on a DC character or a Marvel character, you're only dead as long as you are not profitable.
Exactly. So that being said, her pain was so acute, I recognized it. It was the same pain that I felt when I saw Empire Strikes Back in the theater before the internet. And Han, he's in carbonite. And Luke's hand is cut off. And
Vader has literally just taken him to the what for. Like,
yes.
Did not win his fight. Han Solo is trapped. Like, and then credits.
Yes. And then it's like, how many years till the next three?
Like,
four?
If you experience this in VHS or even DVD or the special editions, you had to wait as long as it took for you to get that next copy. Or maybe if you saw the special editions, you had to wait 2 weeks for it to come.
Yeah, whatever.
Out. This is a huge difference when you're talking about like the span of a year, 2 years. If I remember, 1983 is Return of the Jedi. Yes,
I think so.
I believe so. And
I think so.
Empire, I think, was 80 or 81.
So
you had to wait a good 2 years to find out what happened there.
Exactly, and that was excruciating. And she's feeling that pain. I said, "You've just been empired."
Now Marvel is generous in that we only have to wait a year.
Thanks, Marvel.
I'm saying, like, they cut us some slack.
Now, I'm not going to name names, but did any of those actors, except for maybe a handful of them, because it's all the Marvel characters. It's almost all the Marvel characters. Some of them you only see briefly. Did they all make $1 million each? Because these are all A-listers. And it's like, how do I get that deal? I worked for a day.
Reputedly, the budget of the combined, whatever Infinity War Part 2 ends up being called, Disney, to save money, shot a lot of, I guess, the stuff together. Not necessarily back-to-back the way, like, Back to the Future 2 and 3 or the Matrix movies were done. So it was only $1 billion.
Just a billion.
So you only had to spend, so maybe they only spent $400 million on this one. And the next one, I don't know the exact figures, but they did it so that they wouldn't spend as much money. I guarantee you, everybody that had a speaking role in that, Jane, is driving some sort of convertible or has direct access to a convertible now, right?
Yes.
Right now.
Yes. Oh, easily. Anyway, Infinity War was delightful. I'm glad that finally, Black Widow became a platinum blonde. I think she decided, Jane's been rocking it a while. I'm
so
going to go that way,
you
too.
You don't think that might have had some kind of personal connection for you there?
I don't know.
Maybe, possibly.
Oh, okay. Complaints. I think my only complaint about this, well, there were two. One, and I'd have to hear it again, but there is a reference to a movie and something that happened in a movie, and sometimes people mix up the movies Alien and Aliens. And as my husband pointed out, they referenced one, but they did the thing from the other. And that really bugged him.
Well, keep in mind the source that it is coming from in the film as well. Like, as a callback to what he had done in Civil War, when he said, "Has anybody seen this really old movie called Empire Strikes Back?" Tom Holland's character did not experience these for the first time. I think it's probably part of the humor in that he thinks it's from that movie, but instead it's from another film. Again, I don't want to blow the joke.
It is a great joke, but the fact that we noticed it and we're talking about the one with or without the S blows my mind. My other issue is when it came to the fight scenes, and I like a good fight scene. Maybe it was because I was in the second row, but it's like, I don't know what's going on. You know, I want to see the fight scene. I want to appreciate what they've done. I love your stunt double. And I know half is CGI, but I appreciate a well-choreographed fight scene. And I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Keep in mind that the director's background comes from sitcoms, like Arrested Development in particular.
Oh.
They also did some of The Office. Like, and I'm not downing these guys. This film is exceptional. But it's a lot easier to do like multiple cuts of something than actually choreograph a fight scene.
Yeah,
Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies. Whenever he does one of those like scissor uppercut kicks,
mm-hmm.
I don't think Tom Cruise can actually do those. The only way to get it to look like he does is do like three or four shots combined.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot of what you're doing. Because Robert Downey Jr., however exceptionally talented he is, I don't think he actually has nanites that can form a suit around him and
fly.
Oh,
I believe it.
Now, give him a minute.
Because
with the money he made from this movie,
he
may have. But during the filming of this film, I think we're talking about some more jump cuts in CGI.
Mm-hmm. Now, that brings me to Captain America. Does he already have another one in the bag? Because there's talk that the actor no longer wants to play Captain America because he thinks he's aging out of the role. There's just talk. I don't know.
Now, Marvel has been very tight-lipped on the movies that they are doing, like for the, I think we're in phase four at
mm-hmm.
this point.
There are phases? Okay.
I think they are purposefully, like, making sure that they're not just laying it all out for you there.
Okay.
Because some of the movies in there are still, like, untitled such
mm-hmm.
and such, but this is the date that it's coming out.
Mm-hmm.
I think it ruins some of that suspense for anybody. If I know that Captain America 4 is coming out,
mm-hmm.
I know that Captain America has to make it out of here.
Right.
Or there multiple people have inhabited like that mantle before.
Correct.
So maybe Falcon takes over for him. Maybe Chris Evans has a change of heart. I mean, I don't think Marvel wants these actors out of their roles more quickly than the actor wants out of the role. Like
mm-hmm.
Robert Downey Jr. is, I believe, the only other one that's had a solo film gross over $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want him to stop playing Iron Man.
And ever. I don't want him to stop.
Like, ever. Iron Man 3 made over $1 billion. The rest have had to be like team-up films of sorts. All you got to do is pay Robert Downey Jr. to get real quippy and then like CGI a flying machine around.
A vacuum. I would watch that.
Yeah.
I would totally watch that. So, okay, that was really my only issue. The fight scenes were a little, but other than that, it was like a delight. It's like, oh, now they're there, and oh, they're bringing this together.
And considering how long they have let this thing do the slow burn,
mm-hmm.
like if, and I don't think I'm being hyperbolic here. If this film had not lived up to expectations, like you could start seeing a serious decline, like in the Marvel revenues, because
mm-hmm.
they've been building to this thing since literally. Like the first film when they hinted at Nick Fury at the end of the first Iron Man.
Oh.
If this thing had not met expectations, which I have not spoken to one person that was like, well,
yeah.
I haven't gotten any of that. Like everybody has just come out of the theater like emotionally engaged, excited.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe, again, as you pointed out, one of the girls were kind of like gobsmacked with some of that.
Okay, now here's the power of it. I mean, my child is old enough to know about movies making money and Marvel. I mean, they're the first ones to go, oh, nice product placement, Disney, you know. So they're aware of the machination. But to watch this movie knowing that it's a movie and then still be affected enough to be upset by it tells you how good it is.
Oh, yeah. Like, this thing is product. Like, they are building, as we speak, what is it, Marvel Land? I don't think they... It's not Marvel Land. They are literally putting a, like, how you have Tomorrowland
and
Frontier. They are being built in one of the Disney parks as we speak.
I want to go
Star
right
Wars
now.
Land. I'm just saying, like, think of this thing as just a 2.5-hour commercial to get you to go to stay in the hotel.
Take my money.
I know that. I know that they are trying to take my money, and I want to send it to them in an envelope.
That's right.
Like, that's how well this worked. I'm just like, Disney, where do I put my money? Here, do you want their money? I'll get you their money, too. Do you want her money? Like,
oh,
I can hand it to you. Yeah,
I'll bring my friends.
That's all we have to do.
I'm there. Yeah. Okay, so, so much. Anyway, when it comes down to it, Infinity War, we liked it a whole lot.
Oh, my goodness. Like, the cup raineth over.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think, like I said, besides the caveat that I mentioned earlier, just saying maybe you can't watch this without having watched the other ones. And a good film, I think, stands on its own.
Mm-hmm.
Besides that, like, This film, considering how many like other films it has to touch, how many actors you have to juggle, and how many expectations you have to meet, like, I don't think they could have prepared a better film than the one that was displayed.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah. And I do have to throw this in. I was deeply delighted when I heard, because I know this song so well, I heard the first two or three beats of Rubber Band Man, and I was like, oh, they're coming. Because, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy has the best music.
James Gunn has flavored the Guardians of the Galaxy so much that, like, I mean, it's like it's their bat signal, except it's fantastic. I don't want to say classical music because that I think that sends a different picture. But
it's
like,
it's just
vintage, and you can like you can smell it when you hear it, like if that makes sense to you.
Yes. And I was just so happy. It's like, oh, Gamora knows the words. And then the other half of my brain is going, she's not real. It's like, shut up. She knows the words.
The soundtracks to these films are almost as iconic as John Williams' Superman score. Mm-hmm. Like, as soon as you hear it, you're like, oh, where's Groot?
Yeah.
Like,
let's talk about Groot for just a second. Groot is now a teenager. They nailed it. Nailed it. Nailed it. Because for the bulk of his scenes, he is this snobby teenager who only wants to look at his portable game thing. And it's awesome. And he changes Groot, I am Groot, into different inflections. Powerhouse acting.
I would love to hear the translation.
Oh.
Like, on this. Like, Marvel wants to throw me, like, a little bit of, like, an egg on the Blu-ray that I will pre-order as soon as they will give me a link to it. That, or, like, when Doctor Strange, like, is sitting there saying, I've looked into the future. I'm like, well, I want to see all of those futures, Marvel. Like,
that's right.
Can you tell me about, can you have 14 million deleted scenes? Is that too much?
No, because I'll watch it.
Put on two Blu-rays. Blu-rays are big.
I'll watch it. I'll watch all of it. So Groot, just spectacularly done. And it's a joyous film. And I need to see it again because, yes, well, first of all, I'm going to see it again. But second of all, some things were so funny to me. I know I missed the next joke.
I probably laughed out another key plot point, another joke. I've seen it twice, and I need to see it again.
Mm-hmm. I know there are some people who only see movies once, and I'm just going to put it out there. I don't understand you.
I mean, but there are some films that I can experience. Like, I watched, I don't know, what was it? You've Got Mail back in like 1998.
You don't need to see it again.
I haven't felt the need to revisit that.
I don't need to see Deliverance again. I just don't.
Like, I'm not recognizing that it's a poor film. That's not the reason why.
I just don't need to see it.
I don't necessarily need to relive that experience.
No, I do not.
And like I said, that's not commenting on the quality of the film. It's a powerhouse film.
Cannot be unseen.
But I don't necessarily want my head to go back there.
Yeah.
Again.
It's like, shut that door. Anyway, we think that Infinity War is certainly worth your time. And we are going to talk about another movie next week. I don't know what it's going to be, though. It's going to be something that, you know what, that's in the theater. How about that?
I can guarantee you it will be those things.
It will be a movie in the theater. So, thank you for hanging out with us.
Adam Cravens.
Jane Ellen on Movie Talk.